Sorry, I have to be wired. Wayne deliberately asked for sure to have it taped so that he could listen to it when he got back, because he likes to be aware of whatever is going on in the building here. I want to start with a candy bar award. I guess it's been asked to be called the Radiant Award. The Radiant, yes. Sometimes I agree to things and I think, what was I thinking? Anyway, so the Radiant Award this week goes to Jonathan. And I'd like to read what his managers wrote about him. We have asked Jonathan repeatedly to help out in marketing and product development, where we have greatly benefited from his help over the last year and more. Consequently, we have not had to contract or hire out additional help that would otherwise be necessary. Jonathan has helped the marketing team take product photos, although some of us can read really right, and format them using Photoshop in a way that is both useful for our website and our upcoming catalog. Demonstrating excellent skill in that area, he also asked to help format our Sunlight IGs using InDesign in a specific way that will help John, who's working on Bright Flash, edit them for Bright Flash purposes. As a result, Jonathan has helped John in an extraordinary amount of time in his pursuit of Bright Flash. We're grateful for his much-needed help. Thank you, Jonathan, for extending yourself to help out in marketing and product development while continuing to handle the many day-to-day calls, emails, and chats in customer relations. We appreciate your team contributions and willingness to go above and beyond. And I still have a candy bar, just because I'm stuck on it. Thank you. Come on in. You want to come in? Need a spot? There's probably a few. That's a better one. Today, I decided I would talk about relationships. And I thought, what in the world does relationships have to do with Sunlight employees? As a homeschooling company, we have a chance to impact our families in more than just the three R's. We sure want to make sure we give every parent every tool they need to teach their kids adequately. But relationships are really key. Just in the recent past, one of my children came and asked if we knew of any good books on relationships, particularly in knowing how to resolve conflict. And I thought, wow, what a great topic that is, because all of us have relationships. All of us have potential for conflict. Think about living with your roommate and they forget to take out the trash again, or our fellow employees. You know, maybe they rub us wrong in a particular way, and most critically, in the marriage relationship. Boy, conflict is one of those collision courses that just can happen in a marriage relationship, and I think that's partially the way it was designed. You know, you take two very diverse peoples with backgrounds and thinking and training and experiences, and you put them together in a relationship, and you're supposed to be one flesh. It's like, how is that even possible? You know, if you're a roommate, you can just go live in another part of the room and just kind of ignore your roommate. And you can't do that in a marriage relationship. So dealing with conflict is one of those key principles we need to teach one another and our kids how to deal with those kinds of things. So I spent a little time thinking about it, and of course this is not the definitive answer. I'm sure there's lots of other great things, and I wonder if we should even start a conversation where we talk about these things. But here's a few of the things that over time I've learned and want to pass on. I've passed them on to some of my kids. In our family we have four, and because we rarely talk about deep things all four all together, I'm sure I've talked about each of these points with at least some of my kids. So hopefully this is a chance to synthesize and they can all pick up whatever good things might be in here. The first thing we want to do in any form of conflict, I believe, is to use what I call I messages. What does that mean? Instead of saying, when you did this, I got so mad, or you always do X, right? Haven't we all heard those kinds of comments? It's much healthier and better to say, when you did this, I felt like this. So for example, using the example of not taking out the trash. When you didn't take out the trash, I feel very dishonored. Is there something we can do to resolve this situation? Because in my family, my dad always took out the trash, and that's why I think it should be rightly done. What do you think? And talk about it, work through it. But again, it's not that attack of, you always, you do this and that and the next thing, or the worst of all, you're just like your father. When we were first married, I actually used that on my husband, John. You're just like your father. And he came from a very dysfunctional family. His parents fought like cats and dogs. And at the time, he could have easily have said in reverse, you're just like your mother, because in a lot of situations, we do act like our parents. But I'm here to tell you that he clenched his jaw, turned red in the face, because he was committed to being very careful with the things that he said to me. And he managed to get through that issue, and it was one of those situations where you learn how to do conflict with one another, and it's critical. We want to be careful with the things that we say, because all of the things we say get stored in our memory bank. Think about the things people have said to you over the course of your lifetime, and I bet you can remember almost all of the critical things that were said. John made a commitment that he would never say something that I would come back to and remember forever. And if you can find a guy or teach your children how to do those kinds of things, you are doing families an extraordinary service. Just think of all the pain and the hurt and the trouble that can be done. One of the ways we tried to teach that to our own children was in our family we called it no put downs. And it's a little bit of a manifestation of that principle where you want to be very careful with the things that you say. Our children were not allowed to say, oh, you're just a dummy, or you're stupid, or why can't you do anything right? We called that a put down, and that was not allowed. If we can train our children to be very careful in the things that they say, I've heard other families say, if you can't say something nice, don't say anything at all. That's another example of being very careful with the words that you say in an effort to protect and guard the heart. You know, the little saying says, oh, sticks and stones will break my bones, but words will never hurt me. It is totally false. Don't believe it for a second. It's just not true. We want to raise up children that are careful in the things that they say to one another. So the first one is use iMessages, which was a little bit longer than I thought. The next one is don't let your son go down on your anger. That's a scriptural principle. And basically what it means is don't go to bed mad. Okay, why would that matter? Partially because when you're mad, it doesn't really ever go away. We never forget the things we're bothered by or were issues that we're dealing with. They just can maybe be stuffed a little deeper, or we can pretend like we're over them, but it's not true. People will always let us down. They just do. They're not perfect, and they aren't maybe even being intentional in the things they do, or maybe they are. But we need to make sure we confront things carefully and gently and talk things through. In my own relationship with my husband, one of the best ways that we have to deal with that is we take a walk. When something's come up and one of us has hurt the other, we'll say, let's get your shoes on and let's go walk around the neighborhood. Gives us a chance to work through some of the anger in motion, but it also allows us to, has a specific agenda. It gives us time. A lot of times there's distractions that occur. This allows us to get out and work through it and carefully talk through. Making sure I'm covering everything I wanted to do. So there's energy in moving, and then there's a chance to talk it through. We actually have a circuit that we walk, and by the time we get home, we've usually managed to work through whatever issues we've had in our life. In our own family, I have four children, and my oldest daughter, when she'd see that tension was arising before the four children, and I have four children that are as different from one another, and I've mentioned that before, they have four different learning styles, they have four different ways of dealing with the world, they're just very, very different people, and you can imagine that conflict would occur. My oldest daughter, Amy, when she would see conflict arising, she would call a huddle. And I've mentioned to you before that I always thought I was such a great parent because I don't remember my kids having a lot of conflict. And it's because Amy would pull a huddle, she'd sit the four kids down, and she'd say, you talk, and that person would talk. Oh, now you talk, and that person would talk. And she would work it out and bring about a resolution between our kids. And I don't know how you implement that in your own families. Maybe raise up a challenge among your kids and say, is there one of you that's a leader enough to take this on? Or is it as some families do, where they pull together a family huddle, family time around the table, and they do a similar kind of a thing? It almost works better among the kids, personally, I think, because they know the issues that they're dealing with and they can deal with those things. But as a family, We want to make sure that there's short accounts and means of communication that occur even through some of these tougher times. And thirdly, this is my key point, so if you forget everything else that I say, please remember this one. Ask forgiveness. A lot of times in our society, you can throw off a quick, oh, I'm sorry. Wow, we can use that for almost anything that comes up, can't we? Oh, I'm sorry your package didn't come in the mail. Oh, I'm sorry you don't like dessert. Oh, I'm sorry this happened. Has zero meaning in our culture. And I'm here to tell you, it does enormous damage if you use sorry or choose not to ask forgiveness. I mentioned that John's family is very dysfunctional. First time I went and visited his family, his mother said to his dad, when you did this to me in 1953, I still feel hurt about that. I thought, wow, I wasn't even born in 1953, and they're still fighting about it. Can you believe it? And it's partially because John's dad has never in his life ever said, I was wrong, will you forgive me? In our family, that was one of those choices that John made, and he has exemplified that, I think, even in our own family. When we would have fight in our early days, not that we don't fight anymore, but in the early days, he would think long and hard about what he could do that he could ask forgiveness for in our situations, in our fights. And he'd come up with some small arena that usually was his fault. And he would be the first to say, when I did this, I was wrong. Will you forgive me? I'm here to tell you that that formula is almost magical. I know that over the years, John and I have had fights. And there's a couple of them that we remember because they're funny. We fought over how to organize books, for example. I thought they should be organized by color and size. And he was convinced they needed to be organized by topics. There is no pain in that argument. There's no pain at all. We laugh about it, right? The arguments that we've had that have been hurtful and could have been potentially something I could be talking about, you know, 2,000 years later, that you said this and hurt me, those have all been erased. I was wrong in this situation. Will you forgive me? I'd like to, I don't know how we teach that to our children, how we learn how to do that in our own families and our lives. I've wondered if it made sense to have kids do practice fights. Maybe they, and pick something really silly. Because honestly, most fights are pretty silly. You know, they're really not normally about big and heavy, deep things. They're mostly just a collision between two different backgrounds and two different ways of looking at the world, and those just need to be resolved. Maybe figure out a nonsensical fight that you could have your two kids do. Have them practice saying and then evaluate. Could this be a useful tool in raising up kids that have better relationships? Because relationships are key. We live and work and play among all the people that are around us, and if we can figure out how to live more effectively, I think we could do a good service for our children. Thanks. Any questions? Ooh, I hope don't know.
I do have a question.
Yeah.
Are you saying there's a difference between me saying to you, I'm sorry, and me saying to you, I'd like to ask for you to forgive me? And could you tell me a little bit, or tell us a little bit more about that? And the reason I ask is because when I was young, I remember that my mom would say to me, when you do something that you shouldn't have done, say you're sorry, even if you don't feel like it. And I was like, well, that's stupid. I didn't say that. But
Yeah.
But what she said to me in the end was, your feelings follow your decision. And so when you say you're sorry to your brother or your sister or to me, even though you don't feel like it, and I was like, well, that's still stupid, but I would try it.
Yeah.
And as I get older, sometimes I say I'm sorry, but I don't really feel like I'm sorry yet because I feel like it was your fault.
Yeah.
And maybe it was, but I say it, and sometimes it helps. So I think there's something to saying you're sorry, but I wanted to know more about the difference between saying...
I think it's partially the way our culture has diluted that particular way. As I tried to say, when you say I'm sorry, it's been so, the teeth have been pulled out of it through the multiple uses of it in a lot of variety of ways. When you ask for forgiveness, boy, I'm here to tell you, it is as tough as anything you'll come up with. It's one of those where you say, well, even though I'm really okay and I'm right, and I was trying to make my point of try to find the piece that you truly were wrong in. And that's probably a little different than your mother was saying. She's trying to bring about reconciliation She was trying to bring a restoration of the relationship, and she was thinking that would do it. But in a situation, you always have some part of it that's wrong,
yeah.
right?
Yeah.
And that would be the piece that you would want to make sure. And I think it's a way of even looking at your own heart and evaluating what you've done and saying, this is what I've done, and for this I need to ask your forgiveness. So it's a little bit different, because I think I'm sorry can just be this blanket that's kind of a thin thing that you can throw over the issue, but it doesn't deal with the heart of it. So to look at your situation and say, wow, I know when I said this piece of it or when I did this action, those things truly were wrong, and I need to ask your forgiveness. Does that help?
Yep.
Okay. Anything else? And of course, it's not the end all, but it's at least an attempt. Thanks.